You would take your Bibles there if you're in Genesis chapter 32. I hope this to be an encouragement tonight. The Lord laid this upon my heart for this evening, and I hope that we'll each glean what God has for us tonight from the Word of God. Find verse 22, if you will. I'm going to begin kind of in the middle of the story, but we'll pick up the context of it as we go throughout. But Genesis chapter 32, in verse 22, the Bible says, "And he," speaking of Jacob, "he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." And I'll stop reading there for the moment, and I want to look for just a few minutes tonight into the heart of this text in verse number 29 and following, where he says, verse 30, "I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." I want to speak for just a few moments, if I can, this evening on an environment to encounter God, an environment to encounter God. Now, we find Jacob here in the midst of a traveling season, if you will. If you've walked through the life of Jacob in Genesis, this is very familiar to him. He's a little bit, you could put it in terms of this, he's freed himself almost from the almost enslavement that Laban put him through in earning not one but two wives. A little bit of trickery involved there. 14 years of hard labor, if you will, to earn those that position and those wives along the way. And Jacob is now traveling back unto his homeland. But he's immediately concerned because of the problems he left behind with Esau. He's immediately concerned with what will take place upon his arrival back. And even prior to what I read this evening, he's already making plans and making preparations for how to deal with Esau and the problem with Esau when he gets back to the homeland. He is coming up with plans and ideas of how can I win his favor back. He's brought along presents and gifts to give unto Esau so that he can clear the way. And that's in the midst of where we find him here. He's arisen with his wives and his children, and he sent them over ahead of him unto Jabbok, the Bible tells us. And now he's preparing for that moment. He's almost steeling himself for that moment where he will once again meet Esau and have to face up to what he did so many years ago in stealing the birthright away from Esau in that very deceptive manner with which he did so. And that's where we find Jacob in our story here. And if you'll watch, and I believe this is true with all of us, but you see it played out through the pages of Scripture, because we get the privilege of seeing not only the beginning of their life, but the extent of their life and the end of their lives as they walk through Scripture. And if you'll notice about Jacob's life is he had a pattern about himself. He had a very clear pattern that he followed throughout his life. And he's right back in this pattern in our text of Scripture tonight. And all throughout his life, the pattern that Jacob followed was that that lived up to his name and what is the definition of his name means. And that is, Jacob means supplanter or deceiver. And again, as he did to Esau so long ago, as he's worked his way back to this point, he is again, I believe, here in this passage, he's again planning and scheming and all an attempt to wiggle out of this spot that his own deceit has left him in. And in the middle of this, God decides a divine appointment for Jacob. Aren't you thankful for God's divine appointments in our lives? I know I am. I can look back through my life, and I'm sure you can look back through your life, when God had a divine appointment that put you in a certain place at a certain time to hear the exact thing you needed to hear at that moment. And that's where Jacob arrives in this story. He arrives at the exact spot that God wanted him to be, and he knew to the extent that it was going to take to wake Jacob up from his deceiving ways and bring him back into fellowship with Almighty God. And folks, I think that it would do us all well tonight to look through the mirror, if you will, of the Word of God and see what's the patterns in our life. What are the different things that we have set in place as a pattern for our lives as believers that God may have to take a divine appointment and a moment in time to wake us up from, to stir us to where an environment can be created that we would encounter God? Years ago, Brother Kenny Baldwin, not far from here at Crossroads, he was at a meeting full of teenagers and preaching from this very text, and he looked at every teenager in the room and he said, at each individual's life and multiple junctures throughout their life, each one must come face to face with God. And folks, God desires for us to daily, moment by moment, hour by hour even, to be face to face with Almighty God and to be very forthright, very open in front of Almighty God. And God here takes the opportunity to create and to help Jacob create an environment to change Jacob's life. Now, I believe this is the moment where we could say, and I don't want to preach wrong theology tonight, so bear with me for just a moment as I go through this, but I think we could draw great comparisons to this story of the moment in time where Jacob, if he were living in New Testament times and Jesus Christ had already been born, died on the cross, been resurrected the third day, all that had already taken place, I believe this is the moment that Jacob would have gotten saved. Because this is the moment where Jacob turned from who he had been and became who God wanted him to be. But it was quite an experience that he goes through. And let's read through it if we can. I'm just going to give you a few things and we'll be done tonight on this topic of an environment to encounter God. The first thing is, if we are going to have an environment in our lives to encounter God, the first thing that requires is a removal of dependencies. A removal of dependencies. Look at the first thing that we come across in verse 22. The first removal of dependencies is our removal of dependencies upon individuals. It says in verse 22, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok, and he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. You know, if we're going to create an environment in our own lives where God can speak to us, I believe it's imperative, and God shows us all throughout Scripture, we've got to have some alone time with Almighty God. Even Jesus Christ himself, we've been studying in our theology class, on Wednesdays and Fridays, I have the young people for theology. We've been studying this recent quarter. We've been studying Christology and throughout it. And when you walk through the life of Christ, it is amazing the times that Christ just disappeared, that Christ was just off the scene from his disciples. He was away. Nobody knew where he was. They were looking for him at times. And he was either off ministering to someone or he was off ministering between him and his Father, having his alone time. And folks, as we get further and further and further on as believers, I believe it becomes more imperative and it becomes more difficult even at times to take these moments where we remove dependencies in our lives upon individuals. You know, everyone has the tendency to rely upon someone. And husbands and wives, you know this better than those that are single in the room. We rely upon our spouse. I believe God intended that. God designed that in marriage. The two shall become one, and we're dependent upon them in a certain degree. But I believe at some point, if our relationship is going to be dependent upon Almighty God, blaring from Scripture here this evening, right in our face, is removing a dependency upon individuals. Now, parents will understand this better than some of the teens and the young people in the room tonight, But don't you go through this? Isn't this part of parenting all the way throughout it? Trying to get your children ready for the point when you're no longer going to be around. Isn't that like the one of the long-term goals of parenting? I don't know. I'm not there yet. I haven't sent mine out of the house. I could talk to Brother Chu and some others that have sent theirs out into the world and get some tips probably for things to do there for many of you. But you know, as we walk through it with our kids, and I don't know how your kids are, one of my kids is very independent. I won't tell you which one that is. But if you just pay attention around here, you'll see, because we will all not know where this one child is, and we'll be searching high and low for him. I just gave it away. It's a him. Yep, it's Elliot. He is the independent one of our household. He's 3 years old, and he's not afraid of anything. He's not afraid to go anywhere. He's not afraid to talk to anybody, and he just goes. And if we don't watch him every second, he's just gone. And if you haven't noticed, ministry kids get really comfortable at church. They think they own the place, and we'll look around and say, where's Elliot? And if you just go a little ways, you'll find him somewhere. He's in somebody's office, or he's probably hitting up Mr. Vandenberg for a new toy or something like that. But he's very independent. He doesn't mind to be by himself at all. He's an outgoing little fella. Now, my daughter is not quite as independent. And we've had to work with her throughout her life, and she's probably watching this right now. Evie, I'm sorry. But we've had to work with her all throughout our life. And I remember, I've told this story before, and I apologize, but I remember distinctly the first time she was ever in a house where the power went out. And it was already nighttime, it was dark outside, and all of a sudden, all the lights went off in the house. And immediately, I heard her. She was across the room from me, and she started saying, Dad? 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 And just, I mean, it increased in its intensity level until she got a hold of me. You know, we're all that way a little bit, if we'll be honest with ourselves, of it's easy to be the Christian we ought to be when we're with our brothers and sisters in Christ that agree with us. It's easy to have the right viewpoint on some things biblically and to be where we ought to be spiritually when we're with other people that are doing the same thing. But man, doesn't it get much more difficult when we get away from this environment? And God says here, if you're going to create an environment to encounter God, you've got to remove some dependencies at times. I tell our young people periodically, the Christian that I see is not really who you are. The person that I see when I look at you is not who you really are. Who you really are is when you're all alone. And one thing that I really enjoy about this story is that as Jacob gets alone with Almighty God, as he gets in this private time and the dependencies of individuals have been removed, he has a struggle. Because it shows us the human element of Jacob here. Don't we all have a struggle sometimes with ourselves in those individual times? And God here gives us a peek behind the curtain, if you will, of the removal of dependencies. And it's important in this aspect to get some alone time with Almighty God. But how do we channel this? Look at the second thing as well. This requires the removal of the dependency upon possessions as well. Look at verse 23. And he took them and sent them over the brook. And look at the last phrase in verse 23. And sent over that he had. Now, I know you say you're going to stretch scripture right now, aren't you? Yes, I am. Okay? They did not have cell phones when this passage was written. But you know what I see here? Not only did Jacob know, I've got to remove my dependencies from individuals, but I've got to have nothing around me. None of my possessions, none of my things. And he shows us a great pattern here of just emptying everything away that could possibly distract him. And I honestly don't know if his outset of this was just because he needed some peace and quiet so he could hear his own thoughts, or if he was really seeking God. But whether he was seeking him or not, God found him in this position. And a great picture is shown to us here that if we are going to create this environment to encounter God. You see, sometimes we get the idea, if I encounter God, It's just going to come to me, or it's going to just fall from the sky. And at one point of my life, if I'm going to be where I need to be with Almighty God, it will just happen at some point. And I would submit to you tonight that unless the environment in our life is what it ought to be, God is going to have a very difficult time speaking to us through all the clamor, through all the distraction. Dads, can I tell you tonight, the only way you're going to lead your family in the proper way that God wants you to lead them is if at times you remove the individuals, you remove the possessions, and you just have a one-on-one encounter with Almighty God face to face. Moms, can I tell you, the same thing goes for you. Young people, the same thing goes for you. The only way you're ever going to have the relationship with God that you need to have is if at times you set aside time to remove the individuals, to remove the possessions. My heart goes out to young people today. I know that adults, we face it too, but I was just talking to some of our teenagers the other day. We have teenagers in our youth group that don't remember when smartphones weren't a thing. They don't. I was trying to explain very excruciatingly the other day what dial-up internet was to somebody. I told my daughter about that the other day. She said, "What? What's that?" I said, "Yeah, you plugged a phone cord." Then she asked me what a phone cord was. My daughter said that she had never seen or remembered us having anything but cell phones only in our house, never a landline. I thought, man, we got to go way back. We're going to have to take her down to the Smithsonian when it opens back up and see the American History Museum to show her all the old phones, what they look like. But you know, we can't unplug. Everything is circling around in it. We're in this mad dash to be in contact with people, to be in contact with all the stuff of this world. You know, I use social media, and some of you probably follow me and see things that I post, and I don't post that much. I'm not a great follow if you're looking for entertainment from my feed. You know, it's funny. I see individuals that their Christianity is lived out on Facebook and Instagram where, and I mean it this way, my heart cries as I look at some of these things, and I pray, Lord, I pray that's not the only spiritual aspect of their life. That I've posted this on Instagram, this picture, and I do this, so please don't take this out of context. I post pictures of Bible verses on Instagram. I want other people to see that as they scroll through Instagram. But folks, if we don't at times remove the dependencies upon, all right, let me talk to my pals about what God means to us today, and then it will make the most, I'm not saying those things are bad, but that shouldn't be all that is there. At times we need to get alone with God, because that is really when we meet God face to face. And then the last thing here, under the removal of dependencies, an environment to encounter God requires the removal of the dependency of personal ability. Personal ability. Look at verse 25. It says, "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him." Now, the scripture is literally saying God just put his hand upon him and put his hip out of joint. He struck him right at the top of his thigh and put his hip out of joint. And immediately God said, "Okay, you're not going to stop wrestling me, I'm going to take your physical ability away." Look at verse 26, though. He continued on, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." You know, if God is going to be able to speak to us in our lives, at times we have to come to the point of a removal of dependencies upon our personal ability. Now, I don't know about you, but the longer I'm saved, the easier it is to rely upon what I learned when I was a child, what I learned when I was in Bible college. And the longer we're saved, it becomes easier and easier to rely upon what we learned in the past, and we don't need anything for today. Have you ever been somewhere, those of you that you quoted the verses in Awanas, you quoted the verses in junior church, you quoted the verses in VBS. Have you ever just been somewhere and somebody says something and a Bible verse just comes to your mind? I love when that happens. That's a great thing when it just pops to your mind. But if we're not careful, it becomes about our personal ability and what we remember about the Word of God. It becomes about that and not our dependency upon Almighty God. And God here takes this to the physical level. And sometimes maybe this is what God uses. Maybe it's through an accident or it's through a surgery or it's through some other means. And God takes away a physical ability and says, this is what I'll use to get their attention. Moving on, not only does it require the removal of dependencies, but secondly, it requires real determination. If we're going to have this face-to-face encounter with God, it's going to require real determination. I already read it to you there in verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. But look back at verse 24. And he said, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. The first thing here in this determination is this determination despite the required amount of time. This is another thing in our society today. We literally have an instant of everything. Instant in every walk of our life, in our food, in our technology, in our entertainment. It's all instant. It's all there. Somebody was telling me that it might have been my mother, was telling me she was watching one of those old TV shows, and she was telling me the time slots that it was coming on her TV. And I said, you still watch that on live TV? I started naming like a half dozen streaming apps that she could use to watch that without any ads. And I thought, man, we just live in a instant society. And at times that translates over into our Christianity and our spiritual life where we are not willing to put the time in that it takes to have this encounter with Almighty God. He said there in verse 24 that he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Folks, when we get desperate to get a blessing or a answer from Almighty God, it's going to bring a determination that despite the time or the amount of time that it's going to take, we're in it for the long haul. It requires real determination, secondly, despite the discomfort that is involved. Again, he says in verse 25 that he prevailed over him and put his hip out of joint. And at times, in my own flesh, in my own weakness, discomfort is going to be involved if I'm going to encounter Almighty God. If I'm going to be in the presence of Almighty God, where God can speak to me, where God can change my life, where God can instill in me what He wants to instill in me, the comfort level may not always be there. The flesh may not always be appeased in those situations. It will most likely never be appeased in those situations. So it requires real determination despite the discomfort involved. But thirdly, despite the initial impression. Look at verse 26. He says, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. That reminds me of another passage. If you would, turn back with me to Genesis chapter 18. Another account of something very similar to this, where there was real determination despite the initial impression that God was not going to give in, that God was not going to work, or that the way God was going to work was going to be adversary to what the prayer wanted to come to pass. So look at, if you would, Genesis chapter 18, verse 23. This is Abraham interceding for Lot and those in Sodom. Abraham says in verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do this after this manner, to say the righteous with the wicked, or to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then will I spare all the place for their sakes. And as he goes through, he just keeps lowering the number all the way to verse 32. And he says, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. We see here Abram's persistence. You know, folks, back to our text of Jacob as he wrestles with the Lord all the night. God sometimes desires from us a determination that continues on despite an initial impression that it's not going to work. Recently, we've been working through in Sunday school different guidelines that God gives for His people to witness and to give the gospel out to individuals. This is one of the areas I think this applies to the most in our life, because it's the most hasty we get in our lives to give up on something at the first initial impression that we are given. I tell the young people jokingly, and I don't know how jokingly it is, but I feel like most Christians think this is the way that soul winning goes. Hi, my name's Kyle Spatz from Fairfax Baptist Temple. I have here a gospel tract that tells you you're a sinner, you're on your way to hell. Would you please read this and understand exactly what it says the first time through and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then you can go to heaven. Please, will you pray this prayer right at the end? Sign the card. I think in our minds sometimes that's a joke, obviously, but sometimes we really think that's the way it's going to go. We're going to knock on the door, they're going to hear the gospel, and they're going to say, yes, that's what I've been waiting for someone to tell me all day. And you know what? I've had that happen. It's been very rare that I've had that happen on soul winning, but I've had that happen. Somebody say, you know what? I've been struggling with this, and I've been waiting for somebody to speak to me. My in-laws have this exact testimony of where they had prayed the whole night before for somebody to come tell them about the Lord, and they came the very next day. But we hear those stories. We hear people preach and tell those stories. And then when it doesn't happen to us, we say, well, I'm just going to stop doing that. We have a prayer need on our heart and we pray for it and it doesn't happen. And the initial impression is, that must not be God's will. You know what? Sometimes God just wants us to keep asking. God wants us to be patient. Maybe the time is not right. Maybe it's not the right season of our life. But God does not mind, as we look through Scripture and we see Jacob here, as he's persistent all the night long, he's determined he will not let go until God gives him a blessing. He will not let God go until he gets an answer here, until he has finished this wrestling match, if you will, over where he should go or what he should do or what the right steps were to take in his life. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And the same is true as we see Abraham asking over and over and over again. And can I say, sometimes this persistence may not even be for you. This persistence in your life before Almighty God may not even be for you. It may be on behalf of someone else. Moms and dads, do you ever get on your face and just beg God, please, use my children. Please, don't let them go down the wrong path. Please, help them to make right choices. Help them to find a good godly spouse someday. Help them to quickly and at a young age understand the gospel and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Sometimes these persistent matters, it may not just be for us. It may be for someone else that God has put under our care or has put upon our heart to pray for. But God says here, if you're going to create a face-to-face encounter with Almighty God, it's going to require real determination. Despite the time, despite the discomfort, and despite maybe the initial impression that it's not going to take place. But thirdly tonight, a face-to-face encounter with God. If we're going to encounter and have the environment in our life to encounter Almighty God, the third thing is, this: when this takes place, when the environment is created, it remakes the dysfunctional. It remakes, it renews, it restores the dysfunctional. Look at verse 27. He says, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. You ever stopped when you read that story? I've read this story so many times, and I stopped again today and read it and said, why did he ask his name? Did he not know? Well, obviously, this is God. God knows everything. He knew exactly who he was dealing with. Why is it? I think the reason may be behind the name of Jacob, that he was the deceiver, the great deceptor. Who are you, Jacob? When's the last time you listened to God ask you, who are you? Not who do people think you are. Not what's your title. Not what's your name. What's your last name. What's your place of residence. But when's the last time you allowed God to ask you, who are you? And at this point, Jacob had to say, he had to fess up with who he was, and he said, I'm Jacob! You know, from what I find, this is the first time that Jacob admitted who he was. Really, down deep, who he was, that he was the deceiver, that he was the supplanter, that he was that trickster that took away the birthright that did not belong to him, that had been fleeing and paying for this all along the way in Laban's household. And every step that he took, it seems, if you were to read it without knowing the backstory of what Jacob had done to Esau, you might read through this and say, why has Jacob got it so bad? Why does everything he touches turn out so awful? And Jacob finally stops here as he's wrestling with Almighty God throughout the night. He stops and he says, I'm Jacob. I'm a deceiver. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. I'm a dirty, rotten scoundrel, Lord. And God, that's what he wanted there. Look at the next verse. That was what God was waiting to hear. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. I wrote down here, as he remakes the dysfunctional, that Jacob went from being deceitful and a supplanter to an heir to deity. You know, this is why at the beginning of the message I said I think we have a beautiful picture here of what salvation looks like. Because God wrestled with Jacob. God could have easily put him down multiple times throughout the night. He could have ended the fight. He could have said, enough! But he allowed him to keep struggling through it until Jacob got to the point that he needed to get to. Lord, I'm nothing. Folks, there's some of us tonight, myself included, first and foremost, there's some of us tonight that we need to get back to the place where we tell God, I'm nothing. I'm nothing without the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. And start afresh and anew in creating in our lives, day in and day out, that environment to encounter God with. That environment where God can speak to us. Where the dependencies on individuals, the dependencies upon possessions, the dependencies upon titles, the dependencies upon all the peripheral things of our life, where those are removed aside and God has an opportunity to just speak to us person to person, individual to individual. And God here finally hears what he needs to hear from Jacob, that Jacob has arisen or has arrived at the place where he realizes who he is and where he's been headed. And then fourthly, he restores his direction. Verse 29, the Bible says, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Folks, God restores his direction, and in doing so, Jacob realizes, suddenly, I've been face to face with God all night. There's much debate if you would go through and read different commentaries and different things. There's so much debate on if this was an angel, if this was God himself. And it, not to be flippant about the matter, but I really don't care. Because at the end of it, God had his way. And Jacob arrived at the place that God wanted him to arrive to in verse 29, where he said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. But then in verse 30, he says, I have seen God face to face. And notice that phrase, and my life is preserved. Jacob realized, I've been in the presence and the glory of Almighty God. You remember back to a different Old Testament Bible character of Moses when he got face to face in his moment with God in the burning bush moment. And how life-changing and revolutionary that was to him. As later in traveling with the children of Israel, as they are taking their journey to the promised land that God had waiting for them, and he goes up and receives the Ten Commandments on the mount, and as he has his face-to-face moment with Almighty God where he comes down and he's almost glowing because of being in the presence of Almighty God. That's what Jacob's talking about here. I've been face-to-face with Almighty God, and my life has been preserved. You know what, folks? When we create an environment in our lives to where we can encounter Almighty God, there will be moments of time when we come through situations and we'll say, God preserved my life in this. God kept me going in this. God kept me from making a terrible mistake in this. But it takes that moment of time. It takes that environment that has been created to get face to face with Almighty God before God can speak to us clearly and restore our direction from where it was to where it needs to be. I was just telling some individuals this week as we study through the Bible, I hear this all the time. Oh, well, I've heard that before. I had a young person tell me in the same class I mentioned earlier. He was like, Pastor Kyle, can we talk about something else? I've heard all this. I said, I know you have. I said, but I'm not doing anything different than what God does for us throughout his word and what God's plan for our life is, and that's to repeat things over and over and over again. Why? Because just times like this, you know, as we go through this sin-filled world and this sin-cursed world, our direction gets off. Our focus gets off what it should be. Folks, at times it only takes one flip of the channels from Fox News or whatever is your latest, what's the newest? I can't remember it now. Brother Steve will have to tell me after service. The newest news things that are popping up because we can't trust any of the other ones. But whatever it is, it doesn't take long and your focus is right off where it should be. And man, this is bad. Our nation's in trouble, and it is. But you know what? I'm thankful for the verse of Scripture that says the foundation of God standeth sure. And at times, I've got to create an environment in my life, and I believe there's a case to be made that this environment needs to be where we live. And we need to take this place on with us that Jacob created here, this Peniel, this encounter with Almighty God. It needs to travel with us like the Old Testament caravan with the temple and travel around where this environment is where we inhabit all the time to have a day in and day out face-to-face encounter with God so that our direction can be set in where God wants it to be. Look at verse 31 and I'm done. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose up upon him and he halted upon his thigh. Folks, don't expect to leave this encounter unaltered with Almighty God. Maybe in our storybook imaginations, we want the happy endings as the person goes through this experience and they leave and everything's great. But the Bible literally gives us the indication that as he walked away from it, there was a little hitch there. And I don't know how long he had to walk for. I don't know how many years he had to put up with this for later on. But everywhere he went, he had that halt. So much so that it says in verse 32, the children of Israel still don't eat that part of the meat from any animal because they remember the special moment when God touched Jacob's thigh to change his life there at Peniel. Folks, tonight, we've walked through the course of this. In just one encounter that Jacob had lasted one night. What's the pattern of our life? I don't know about you, but sometimes we can struggle through, if we see a pattern in someone's life, we say, well, it's just who they are. We'll pray for them, but that's just who they are. I see a great case here for when God has his face-to-face moment with an individual. They can be changed. They can go from being the deceiver, the supplanter, the sinful individual to where God gives them the title of prince. royalty. And folks, I don't know what the need is tonight. Maybe it's in your life, maybe it's in the life of a loved one, where we examine, what's the pattern of my life? Have I had that face-to-face moment with God, that initial starting relationship with Almighty God of accepting Christ as my Savior? What about the one that you say, I've been saved? I'm what you talked about. I memorized all the verses in Children's Church and VBS and all those things. I remember all those. And maybe there's a need in your life tonight to have another encounter with God, for God to give you direction. Maybe you've strayed from your devotional time, your time in prayer with Almighty God. And God needs just to send a little message here tonight of it's time to restore that direction. Maybe it's for another individual, maybe a loved one, maybe someone not related to you at all. You say they need their encounter with God. You know what, folks, too? Sometimes we look at stories like this and we think it's a negative, that he left it with an injury. My mind races to the stories that Christ tells of it's better for us to lose some function of our body, whether it be eyesight, whether it be our physical ability to walk, whatever it be, it's better for that to take place and enter into the kingdom of God than to have all of our faculties and not. Young people, let me help you tonight. That which is most difficult to do in your life, as far as your flesh goes, that which is most counter to the culture that you live in, that is the most uncomfortable for you to take place in, that looks the most uncool, I don't know if that's the way to say that, the most opposite to cool, that's the way God would have you to go, and it seems painful. It seems uncomfortable. It seems the undesirable route to go. But I think every adult that's been through that would tell you tonight, as I would, we all come through that if we follow God's word and we follow Jacob's example here, we come out realizing, oh, the Bible was right. God was right. My parents were right. My parents are right there tonight. And they would tell you at your age, I didn't think they were right about anything. But you know, as we walk through this, folks, don't miss this. The most dangerous place that we get to in our Christian walk is a state of apathy, a state of arrival. Because when we reach the plane of arrival, I've read it all, I've heard it all, I've heard every passage preached, some of them multiple times because they're easier for guys like this guy to preach. Heard it all. But folks, that's what I love about the Word of God. I love about our relationship with Almighty God. It's always fresh. It's always sweet to the taste. It's always refreshing. And tonight, my heart's desire for each one of us is that God would again make fresh and anew the importance of our encounters with Him. You know what, folks? My heart's desire tonight, and it's not perfection or been perfected in my life at all, but my heart's desire is that daily I would encounter God in my own life, that I would draw closer to Him day in and day out, and that I would help other people encounter Him as well. And tonight, as we bow our heads in prayer, I just want to beg each one of us to take just a moment and ask God, Lord, is my direction where you want it to be? Let's pray together tonight. Lord, I ask that you would take this time, use it for thine honor and thy glory.